individuals with a proven track record of job placement right out of college. If you want to earn a degree in the exciting horse racing industry, the Racetrack Industry Program can put you in the winner's circle.
Visit ua-rtip.org today.
SiriusXM Sports presents
At the Races with Steve Bick.
Horse racing, handicapping,
interviews.
This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
We're back, hour three, and I didn't know how to introduce this earlier this morning, but yesterday word started to circulate that young Avery Wisman had passed away at the age of 22, took ill about 2 weeks ago, and there's not a whole lot of other details. Just too sad, and you know, had been seen at Presque Isle, and in fact, I think next week probably reach out to Glenn Wismer in particular, and because he rode among the horses late in the meet at Presque Isle that Avery was successful with, included the Star Stake horse of Wismer's, Shirley Furious, and I just awfully sad to his friends and family, and I'm sure you'll see more about it later today. Nick Tamaro is joining us, and Nick, you know, we texted a little bit during the weekend, opening weekend at Sam Houston, and you know, obviously the circumstance with the with the simulcast limiting, or more than limiting, eliminating the opportunity for people around the country to bet is going to take a toll.
Yeah, that's a fair way to put it. Good morning, Steve. It was, I promise, opening weekend happened. Not many of you got to watch, but it definitely happened, and we're back at it today. And yeah, I mean, it's sort of like watching a movie in a theater alone over and over. In many ways, but I can't think of a really accurate way to put it. So, yeah, this is the situation, at least for now, and looks like it'll probably be that way through the meet, which I heard your interview last week with Amy Cook, and I don't really think a lot was said as far as long-term solutions other than a lot of platitudes, and those don't always just get achieved overnight. So we're trying to make the most of it and develop an on-track program that is a bit more robust than it's been in the past. You know, we run at a time of year where people are not as likely to be going to a live sporting event as they would maybe during the summer. Our on-track business during the quarter horse meet is actually busier. That also has to do with the demographics down here. So, but, you know, we had a good day on track on Saturday. We had a nice little crowd, and we're going to pull for that throughout the meet, and we'll still have some good stakes races at the end of the month for the Houston Racing Festival, so anybody within driving distance or flying, come on to town, because we've got an NHC qualifier as well, and, you know, we're still going to put on a show and try and make the most of it. So, yeah, it's unfortunate, because, you know, a lot of time and resources had been put into developing an export simulcast that was really growing in popularity rapidly. You know, to think about where Sam Houston was in 2019 and where we got in 2022, it was roughly a 300% handle increase during that period of time. And so we want to see that momentum able to continue. Currently, it's not. So, you know, we're going to hope for the best and prepare for the worst, I think, which is pretty much the only way to do it.
Well, as Shirley MacLaine says in Terms of Endearment, and they let you get away with that. That's one of my favorite lines. it's impossible. It's an impossible situation, and so unfair, just because it doesn't necessarily have to be like this, and so much work has gone into building up awareness of the signal, and the, you know, going back, I mean, literally, it's, what, 8, 9 years, 10 years of work? I mean, how old is the Ladies Classic?
The Ladies Classic was first run in 2013, I remember correctly, 12 or 13. So yeah, it's been a very popular race for many years now, and is kind of growing into an early season staple. And, you know, thanks to the support of some of the horsemen that frequent Sam Houston, you know, the one that comes to mind, of course, first is Steve Asmussen, who's a tireless supporter of Texas racing, and he's going to bring Pauline's Pearl back for a title defense based on what he said last week when he was on track on Saturday. And, you know, we've had grade one winners coming in. We've had grade one winners coming out, including Pauline's Pearl. And this year, I know we've got another graded stake winner pointing to it in Hidden Connection, who has some real significant local ties. So I know there's going to be a big crowd on behalf of her ownership. So yeah. And look, the Connolly Turf Cup has grown in popularity as well. It's had winners like the Big Hoss, who went on to win graded stake races, and Bigger Picture, who went on to win a grade one. You know, last year it was just a tremendous running of it with a 3-horse photo right on the wire. We've seen a lot of fun runnings of that. It would be our third running this year of the Bob Bork Texas Turf Mile. And that was a race that yielded Derby Day Turf Stake winner Stolen Base last year. So, you know, you're fortunately, Steve, the racing program is unaffected by that this year. And so we're able to continue to put on as good a racing product as possible. And purse money is where it was in 2022. But obviously, and you know, the hidden piece of it that's not referenced enough in discussion is that handle, as it pertains to purses, is just a part of it, right? I mean, handle is what keeps the lights on. It keeps the place staffed. It, you know, it keeps you going. And so not having that obviously presents a pretty significant challenge. So, you know, the racing office has done very well so far. We've actually got some nice cards this week, starting today, going right through Monday, and we'll continue to see some good racing. So, you know, it's obviously, yeah, it's a very hollow feeling. I mean, I'm obviously treading as lightly as possible with it, but, yeah, come on by the track, and if you're in the area or if you're around, and we'll certainly make sure you feel welcome, because we're going to need every bit of that on track participation.
Anything you want to highlight or note tonight, tomorrow?
You know, tomorrow's card actually has a couple of really competitive turf races towards the end of it, and today's is not bad by any means either. But and Sunday we've actually got a couple of deep allowance races that. That should be pretty interesting, I would say. And you know, my picks are up on the website. I've sent them all in, so you can certainly follow along there. We're working on getting the signal put onto YouTube, so there should be an update on that as well coming up pretty soon. So yeah, keep apprised of that, and you know, there'll be a few opportunities here and there to wager. Of course, you know, we're trying to be as careful with that as possible too, because you know, don't need anybody giving out $40 and $50 pick four tickets into pools that have three digits. So, you know, there's still some chances to make a little money here and there. We've got a $1,300 pick five carryover today. Got a nice claiming race towards the end of the card with a big field. And Asmussen will have a favorite that's a little somewhat untrustworthy. So it's an interesting spot.
And this is really, it's tragic. I mean, looking at these fields, the field size is terrific, and some interesting racing, and I'm unfortunate. All right, Nick, a couple of New York opinions. Anything you got? Anything heavy lean for today for the pick six sequence at Aqueduct?
Yeah, you know, good sequence, I would say. Going towards the end of it, this eighth race is very, very interesting. Even with the scratches, there are four scratches in there. You can take out the 2, 4, 5, and 11. And you know, King Angelo is a horse that there's been a lot of discussion about on social media, and I know on the Naira broadcast, because I know Andy was banging the drum for a while about him being a dirt horse. He actually ran very well last time out behind Sheriff Bianco, who ironically is another horse that had spent his entire career on turf, got claimed, went to the dirt, and now he's run four straight 90-plus buyer speed figures. And King Angelo ran well to be second to him last time. He looks like the horse to beat in there. Shipsational is dangerous cutting back. He's probably a more effective sprinter. I wonder if maybe his dull race in the comebacker just had to do with him not really being ready. But, you know, from any standpoint as far as speed figure goes, he did run a better race last time and looks like he might be pointing in the right direction. I thought 12th Man was a little dangerous too. I'm not sure how much worse than King Angelo he ran last time, given the bad break and the slow pace. So I would certainly end it with those three. I thought there were two interesting horses in the seventh I like the 5 and the 6 story fella and Abundant Honor. I'm hoping Matty Oliver just sends the 5 to the lead. And he comes out of a race at Laurel where he was a little wide and a little hesitantly ridden, I think you could say. And his best races have come when he's shown more speed. They're putting the blinkers on. This is a horse who's won locally as well, so you don't worry too much about Mid-Atlantic-based connections trying New York. And, you know, in the 6th, I like Chatelamo cutting back. I thought she ran very well last time to be second behind Mia Bia Star, who's just been in incredibly good form for a while. It's really funny, Steve, to be talking about these New York races, and we're dealing with Randy Persaud, who's winning races left and right. And so, you know, you don't, a lot of times in the past, you'd kind of hold it against a horse if they lost a race that was won by a horse trained by Randy, but that is not the case right now at all. Preposterous is dangerous, second off the claim. Poor effort first off the claim for Linda Rice, and then she shelved this one. Linda's got good numbers with horses coming back off mid-range layoffs, and you'd have to figure something went wrong last time that she probably identified. Her barn is just going way too good to overlook anything. I thought the favorites would probably dominate the 5th, the 5, and 7, Cali Bali and Baby Sox, both second-time starters who showed some life on debut. More so Baby Sox, but I do think Cali Bali was hurt by being a little bit inside. Brad Cox adds Lasix. That's been a positive angle for his barn. I like Galliano in the 4th. I think there'll be enough pace. I think some of the pace horses are a little tough to trust as far as seeing it out in Alpine Queen and Diamond Collector. So I'm looking for Galliano to make a pretty strong late bid there going the mile. And the pick 6 sequence starts with the 3rd, a $20,000 maiden claimer, where I think you want to cover every base and use the 2, 3, and 6 and take a look at Frosty Holidays taking some money, because that's a firster with a little bit of connection power on the side, being from the barn of Michelle Nevin.
Very good. Cool. All right, so that gives everybody a leg up for today for the pick 6 sequence. Anything stand out for tomorrow?
I haven't quite finished my work as of yet. I was doing some on it now. And, you know, the Busanda is actually a good race. Chad Brown's running a colt after her really impressive maiden win last time out going the mile. She's stretching out to a mile and an eighth, and she's running into Affirmative Lady and Gambling Girl, who were the second and third place finishers behind Julia Shining and the Demoiselle. So I think we're going to get a little insight into the form of that Demoiselle while also dealing with horses that are perfectly capable and are going a distance that's, you know, still a little long for this early in the year. So I'm intrigued by it. I'm not sure how much of a betting opportunity it's going to be. I think that that a colt should probably be a little bit too much for them when push comes to shove. But there's a couple of interesting maiden races along the way. Weekend Rags looks awfully tough in the 6th, third time out, first Lasix, second in her first 2, including a stake try. So that looks like a spot where you can go pretty thin as far as the multis go, trying to get through those 2 legs where you can probably single.
Very good. All right, Nick, I appreciate it, and we'll be rooting for things to resolve themselves for SHRP, certainly, and we'll catch up with you next week.
Thanks, my friend. Appreciate it. Talk soon.
Nick Tamaro, everybody, MTAM1215, and this is just ridiculous that they put on a nice show like this and nobody can play. But get there for the contest, though, for NHC, and that's a timely tip because Keith Shamblin is going to join us here momentarily, and then we'll round out with Papa, and he and I'll look at Tampa. But right now, Keith Shamblin, NTRA, good morning.
Good morning, Steve. How are you?
I'm good. I saw you. We never got a chance to talk in Arizona, so I said I got to get to Keith. I typically, you know, we typically have a reset at around this time of year for NHC seat seekers because they're running out of racetrack. But it's such an unusual scenario, Keith, with the March. You know, we've had to deal with so many so many unusual circumstances, and one more oddity this year.
It's been a crazy time, but I think we're going to make it through coronavirus okay, and hopefully everything will be back to normal after this March, hopefully.
Well, you
knock
know,
on wood.
address for a second, and this probably is better served as a follow-up question, but there are some people who have said and have already made the suggestion, in this range on a going basis a little bit later in the winter.
Well, we are tied up and bound with the new horseshoe, which is the former Bally's, but the rebranded Horseshoe Las Vegas. We are good through March of 2026. And so, yes, we'll be March 10th through 12th this year or in 2023. And then we've extended the March dates in for 2024, 2025, and 2026. So, you know, I think it's going to be terrific. It really plants a flag in mid-March for the NHC on the calendar for the next 4 years and provides some continuity. And I think it's going to provide horse players with better weather during the NHC weekend, which has always been somewhat unpredictable in January.
True.
And while it's not a huge date change, you know, a month and a half can make a big difference weather-wise. So we're looking forward to it. We've got a great partner in Caesars. They are very engaged and very much looking forward to continuing as the host of the NHC through 2026. And we think it's a terrific property right in the heart of everything in Las Vegas, and just very grateful for all they're doing on behalf of the horse players, and looking forward to this, you know, extension of what's already been a great relationship.
Well, and the other portion of it comes in terms of gambling. I mean, I suppose being there during the tournament, the NCAA tournament, it adds some intrigue and appeal as well for those of us, right, to take part.
It'll be the weekend of the conference tournament championships, men's basketball championships.
Yep.
And that Sunday when we host the final day and the final table at the NHC, that's actually selection Sunday for the following week. So, you know, really anybody who has any affiliation with any Division One college will have action that weekend while we're in Las Vegas. And we think that will be exciting. A lot of activity, a lot of action in Las Vegas that weekend and really for that month, since the next week will be start of March Madness.
Yeah, so we can get bets down, and this should be fun. I've had to adjust the travel schedule, Keith, on a lot of fronts, but I don't mind. I'm certainly looking forward to. I got everything penciled in and all the bookings done. So looking forward to this edition.
This year will be great. We've got a record number of entries, 725. That includes 55 deferrals related to the last couple years of COVID. So we'd be pulling money for each of those 55 entries into this year's. But, you know, we anticipate 725 entries, record prizes and awards of $4.5 million. There's still time to qualify. The tour ends on February 12th. The 23-24 tour will begin on March 9th, which is the date of the last chance contest at the Horseshoe in Las Vegas. That'll be the start of the 2023-2024 tour season. So there's still time for a lot of people to qualify. We've got some on-track tournament. There's just ongoing online tournaments, but there's on-track tournaments. They were this past weekend at Hawthorne, at the end of the month at Sam Houston, the Pegasus World Cup Betting Challenge, which is always a popular contest. Hialeah Park is going to have a contest the day after the Pegasus down in South Florida. So they'll try to piggyback off Pegasus weekend in Miami. Monmouth Park is having a tournament on February 4th. Tampa Bay Downs is on the schedule for the 10th and 11th of February. So lots of on-track possibilities to continue to qualify, as well as online and hybrid contests at Santa Anita, Gulfstream, and, of course, many contests on horseturneys.com and horseplayers.com throughout February and into early March. So still time to qualify, and that'll lead to the 2023 tour, where we've got some new sites that are coming online. Delaware Park is joining after being, they haven't held a contest probably in nearly a decade, that they're going to give away some spots and host an on-track tournament. Fairgrounds is back on the schedule. We're still working on Oaklawn. We've been working on it for more than a year. And of course, your friend and ours, Rick Hammerly, when he was there, was a big advocate of them hosting an on-track qualifier. Although we don't have a definitive date, we're still talking to Oaklawn and still trying to wrestle them to the ground on having what I think would be one of the most popular on-track tournaments of the year if they were to actually pull the trigger.
It's a natural, obviously, for them, and they really need to get over the finish line. I knew from Arizona from the get together at the symposium that there had been a lot of new interest and the opportunity, and I'm sure some other there'll be other added venues and opportunities, but I think it's important for players to understand and now adjust to the schedule, because I think a lot of people, Keith, so many years of the tour wrapping up and the availability of slots, dwindling, as we get into January, that mindset, and that people should realize they still have got a good period of time here, a good 6-7 weeks to keep qualifying. I talked to Michael Bacek, who was starting to get a little antsy that he hasn't qualified yet.
Michael always gets nervous near the end of the tour season, but he always comes through in the clutch and figures out a way to earn one of these qualifying spots. And I wouldn't bet against him again being at the NHC in March. I always look forward to seeing him in Las Vegas, and hopefully he'll be back there, not just competing in the last chance, but competing in the big dance over the weekend. But there are a lot of opportunities left, and I think that's great. We're looking forward to it. Of course, it'll affect us a little bit in the 2023-2024 season, as we that'll be back to a year-long contest tour season instead of this year. It was extended a little bit because of this March change, but everything's been kind of up in the air since COVID, and it'll just be nice to be back on a regular 12-month calendar from March to March each year.
Exactly. So the reset is inches away, really. Looking forward to it, Keith. And there's more, I'm sure, that we'll check in with you and with Michelle. In the meantime, and Holly and everybody, in the meantime, getting ready for the Eclipse Awards. And was happy yesterday to welcome Jay Pridman on the news of his special Eclipse. And I'm sure there's a couple of more things. But I understand we're sold out for the Breakers.
We're sold out. We'll have a crowd of about 520, and it'll be great to honor. In fact, I texted Jay yesterday and just said, overdue and well-deserved. He'll finally have an Eclipse Award on his mantle. A lot of people don't realize that through all those years as, just the consummate journalist, he never won an Eclipse Award during his career, but it's great honor, and I'll be happy to be there and see it live as he accepts the award.
Television, FanDuel Broadcasting?
FanDuel Broadcast, also Racetrack Television Network, will be on multiple internet streams, from America's Best Racing to the Blood Horse, Thoroughbred Daily News, and of course, NTRA.com. So there'll be lots of opportunities and avenues for people to watch from home. And that we'll be announcing that early the week of the Eclipse Awards, where you can see it in addition to FanDuel TV and Racetrack RTN or Racetrack Television Network.
Very good. Well, Keith, we'll see you in Florida, and anything else you need me to feed out there, let me know.
We've got your room reserved in Las Vegas. Absolutely. Look forward to seeing you out there, if not in Florida.
Well, I'll see you in Florida because I'm attending now. I'm not going to miss Jay, the opportunity to see Jay feted like
great.
That. All right?
Great. So look forward to it.
I appreciate it. Keith Shamblin, everybody, right. NTRA, and the new schedule for NHC. And we'll start. We got to catch up on the last quarter, the fourth quarter action on the contest front. Once the summer ended, we kind of let it slip between the cracks. Not going to let Papo slipped through the cracks this morning, and we'll get Papo in here. We're going to talk about the Tampa card because it's too good not to include in our discussion. And happy to welcome back Am West, Am Wagers, Papo Morales, Form to Win. Good morning.
Good morning, Steve. How you doing this morning?
Good, good. This has been like a rocket sled. 2 hours and 45 minutes, and we'll finish strong too with this Tampa card that really, in a lot of ways, might be the most attractive. I know of the day tomorrow. I know that the Fox show, America's Day at the Races, as well as the Aqueduct card, they're going to be and they bring Oaklawn to you as well, but they're going to feature the Tampa action tomorrow on Fox.
Yeah, it's a solid card all the way around. I mean, there's some short price favorites. I'm going to try to beat them like always, but yeah, we'll see. Should be a solid card. I know the weather should be decent, so unlike out west. But yeah, it should be a solid day all the way around. It's like a festival this weekend over here, Steve. It's my wife's birthday, which is not just one day. It's a series of days. So gotta mix that in as well.
Oh, that's great. That's funny how that works. The birthday week, birthday month. You see them featured. Let's talk. We'll probably catch probably look at a couple of the other spots beside the stakes. But let's take a look at the 3 year olds first. And the Pasco is going to go as the sixth. The Gasparilla is the ninth. 7/8 for both of these lightly raced types. And we got some surface switches to consider in here. Cassie, most notably in both races, Cassie is doing some surface switching, and let's see how you and I informed to win how we view these.
Yeah, Pasco Stakes, the number four, Champion's Dream. Looks like he's cutting back into this spot. I mean, I guess he fits. I'm more interested in Armstrong, also for Cassie, the five horse. Coming in here by Mucho Macho Man. Good form coming in. And on the filter that I used on Form to Win, he was the top-ranked horse. So I'm interested in Armstrong and then Handsome Playboy, the three horse for Gerald Bennett with Pablo Morales in the saddle. But both those horses fit on Form to Win. So going to try to beat the chalk in this particular race, Steve.
Well, and you know, there's a couple of things about this. And, of course, Champion's Dream moving to Cassie from Gargan, last seen winning the Nashua. And, there's nothing wrong with the cutback starting the season at 7/8. Armstrong's interest coming off the sprint performances at Woodbine, including the Clarendon win, and this is an Ontario bred, so restricted company, but beat open company breaking the maiden with Kaz Kimura. There's nothing about this horse that would say he can't, translate to the dirt. He's been up at the training center in Ocala for the Cassie team, and comes in at 6-1. I don't see how you don't you don't gravitate to this horse. I don't think the 6-1 is going to hold. This is Reeves Thoroughbreds with Gary Barber and the Mucho Macho Man colt. Gotta be central to your ticket. Ron Spatz, that was a clever claim out of that 35 slot, and then he turned right around and won first time under Spatz's care, the Loco Abario. And, based on Figs, Papa, what Loco Abario looks like the speed, the one to catch, even though there are some other horses that have shown speed. Loco Abario is going to be winging it out there, I think.
Yeah, his pure numbers, I mean, just going off speed figures, I mean, they are a little bit lower than some of these, but, I mean, lightly raced, only 3 starts. Funny that you say that, Steve. If you just sort on form to win by average projected time, he's the lowest.
Hmm.
So he does have the fastest projected time by form to win. So yeah, I would not take a short price in this race. Well, I try not to take a short price in any race, but especially in these lightly raced 3-year olds.
You know, one thing I had not done with this race yet, with this group of races, I had not looked yet at pace figures, and I'm curious if I can't separately get a number. Let's see if I can quickly. Yeah, here we go. This is the 6th, right? Yeah,
The 7th. 7th, Steve, I think.
Pasco is the 6th. Pasco is the 6th. Yeah, that's interesting. All right, I for a 6-horse field, This is an interesting group, and somebody's going to come out of this and head for the Sam Davis, you would think. There's plenty of horses here that are bred for 2 turns, not the least of which is that Champion's Dream. Justify out of that nice Tappet mare of Jack Oxley's, Dancing in Her Dreams. So this is as good an addition to the Pasco as I think probably have had in the last couple of years. Jerry Bennett, Dance and Playboy, and even that Zydeco on the outside for Ramon Minguet is okay and gets first Lasix, as does Champion's Dream and Shaq Diesel down on the rail for Christos Gattis. How about the Phillies version? And here we got Cassie similarly making a transition back to the dirt, and Personal Pursuit broke her maiden at Aqueduct in an off-the-turf race, got a 75 buyer doing it, which is her best, and then actually had a tangled beginning trying the Matron, made up some ground and passed some rivals late in there, and ran into that nice Juniper Marshmallow in the Wait a While across state, gets blinkers, gets Lasix, and goes turf to dirt. It's the triple whammy.
It is, Steve. We're talking about race 7, correct? Now,
this is
last?
Race 9. No, we're going to the staying with the girl.
Okay, you're skipping. Okay,
the three,
okay,
stay with the 3-year olds.
Okay, so race 9, let me pull that up on my system. You got Darth Vader in here. I mean, I guess that seems like a very short price. I'm interested, Steve, in the... you just brought her up, the 2-horse Personal Pursuit, for Cassie. Absolutely fits on form to one, no matter how you ran it, average projected time or best. And then another horse, and I mean, last time out, like, looks like my notes say she hit the gate and finished 4th. I'm also interested in Dreaming of Snow, once again, for Gerald Bennett. With Sammy Camacho in the saddle, ranked fairly high and on form as well, on the win as well. It's kind of across the board, both on best average and average speed figures also. So I'm interested in those two, trying to beat the 4-horse Darth Vader.
Well, and Darth Vader for Michael Yates, coming out of the Sandpiper, which is the the prep for this, and had won a bunch of restricted races over the summer at at Gulfstream, basically all those stallion-type races that used to be run at Calder. You know, there's a horse here at 12-1 that is a little intriguing. And Arnaud Delacour won the stake last week, one of the stakes, and comes back with this Mendelssohn filly, Opus 42, at 12-1 with Daniel Centeno, and coming off the maiden breaker, gets first Lasix, and I would be intrigued at least to include Opus 42. Delacour is very, very capable, and that was a modest step forward with another forward move. Opus 42 is competitive in this group and is going to be the best price of anybody we've talked about.
No filter, you, Steve. That horse is ranked second.
There you go.
On form to win.
There you go. Yeah,
limited sample size once again, but it's projected to run a 122.37. So this, either way you run it,
12-1, and Delacour, very clever. All right, let's go back to that Wayward Lass that you referenced. This is the fillies and mares, and they're going to go a mile and a 16th, and it's actually kind of a nicely bunched group. I mean, Beth's Dream, obviously, if she gets back to her, you know, her best races that she ran last summer, but she's been away since she tried the heavy heads in the Molly Pitcher. They made her 6-5, Victor Barbosa and Jaramillo. She doesn't have to win.
No, she doesn't. I mean, she had like 175 day layoff. Past the Champagne's coming off like 345 day layoff. Molly's Angel, 126 day layoff. So you've got horses coming off layoffs. I'm interested in, Tap Dance Fever, the 6 horse for, Gerald Bennett. It's on form win one last time out. Looks like, I don't know, interested in that horse. She projected to run well here. See if she fits on best and an average. And, you know, if you like Molly's Angel, 126 days, it's not impossible to overcome. She absolutely fits also. So I'd be interested in the 6 horse and the 3 horse also.
Yeah, I mean, you're giving away, I mean, all these short prices. You mentioned Pass the Champagne, who, of course, we watched last spring and felt like, you know, a horse that was actually a Kentucky Oaks, you know, a serious Kentucky Oaks consideration if we go back to last spring. But, you know, hadn't been seen the spring before. She's a 5-year-old now. One start as a 4-year-old, and that came in February, and then back on the shelf. Has been working steadily for George Weaver, and I don't see why anybody thinks that you have to take the short numbers on the horses that are coming off layoffs. That's Beth's Dream, Molly's Angel, and Pass the Champagne. So if you get 6-1 on Jerry Bennett with the now horse, second off the layoff, Tap Dance Fever, you're right. That's the right lean. How about, I guess, well, the maiden races, of course, is a lot of pedigree work, and there are some fancy pedigrees in the 8th and the 10th, but let's go back to that turf group in the 5th. I'm curious what you got.
Let's see. We're doing on a 16th, so I haven't looked at this, but I'll run it right now, Steve.
There you go. Shows you how fast you can pull up a race on form to win.
Yeah, I'm interested in, let's see. An average.
Well, just in
time. Okay, I mean, the 5 horse, yeah. Just time for your wine. I mean, fits, not much of a price there. The 2 horse is a price. Battle Scars. Just looking at races between a mile and a mile and a 16, got a data set of 3 fits, as well as the 9 horse Great Britain. 2 coming off 2/3. Let me dive into that a little bit more. I'd be more interested in the 2 horse Battle Scars from a price standpoint. Last time out, I'm not sure what happened there, but if you go 2 back, had a good number. Finished 4th, you know, only beaten a little over length. So for a price play, I'm going to try to, I would try to get the two involved.
It feels like the right, that does feel like the right horse. And this is Jim Gulick, and you go back to that race at Aqueduct in November. That absolutely fits. Just in time for Wine, you know, who's been a nice horse, five-time winner, and a New York bred that we're certainly familiar with, have seen plenty of times. But yeah, I like that. 10-1. Battle Scars the 2 in the 5th. It's a very good card. And then some pedigree work needs to be done in the 8th and 10th, where Chad's got 2 in each, but you got Clement and Mott. You know, these owners don't mind breaking their maiden for $27,000 over at Tampa. And a lot of top horsemen just prefer this turf course to Gulfstreams. So, Papo, good luck this weekend. We'll talk next week. Form to win, everybody. Right there, built into your AmWager interface. Thanks, Papo.
Yeah, you're welcome, Steve. I'll talk to you next week.
You got it. Papo Morales, everybody. There you go. Thanks to Papo and to Nick Tamaro and Keith Shamblin earlier this hour. David Hill for the NFL look for the 6 games this weekend. Scott Schapp and Scully and Hammer. There it is. Twin Spires weekend preview. Hope it's a good weekend for everybody. Back with you Monday. I got a bunch of stuff printed. I don't know if I'm going to... I'll probably do some Oaklawn and some Tampa, I guess, I think. Yeah. Going to look outside the... Look outside New York for the weekend. Good luck. Enjoy. Thanks for tuning in. Been a fun week. Talk to you Monday.
So,
the latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.